Hello, you candid little kittens. You're listening to Straight Up Candid with your girl, CLG the Great. Yes, that is my nickname. Everybody calls me that. And you're listening to Straight Up Candid, which is a safe and spicy space for us to get down and talk dirty about all things candid. From sex, love, cringe stories, self-help tools, dating advice, to dysfunctions, taboo topics, uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. We're unpacking it all with all the spice and we're spilling all the tea. And we're back for episode 2 after a really, really exciting pilot episode, which was really well received for everybody. So thanks. Shout out to everyone who listened. And we have a very fiery and fierce guest behind the mic tonight. Miss Jenna Way Webster is in the hot seat and boy, oh boy, it is hot in here. By the way of a short intro to my very, very special guest. And for those who may not know who she is, Miss Jenna Way Webster is the creative mastermind of the clothing brand Way West. A free spirit, a lover of fur children, and believes that living positively is as much a choice as it is what we are compelled to do for an abundant existence. Jenna runs several businesses and has sunk her teeth into all sorts of projects like film directing for award-nominated fashion short films, a proudly South African clothing boutique called SAM, South Africa Made, running a clothing factory that empowered local women who went on to start their own businesses, and being the front woman for a family-owned business that manufactures local clothing, supplying local chains and designer brands. Jenna feels the fear and does it anyway and tends to be the agony aunt in her relationships, nurturing those who need guidance. You know, it's safe to say that Jenna Way is not afraid to stand out. You may have spotted her out and about with her fiery red hair or her ensembles that don't always add. Jenna prides herself in dressing intuitively, making her outfit of the day her second skin. She is unafraid to express herself authentically and challenges the norm to push her boundaries for further self-discovery. I am beyond thrilled to have Jenna in the studio with me tonight. She also happens to be what I like to call my soul sister and an extremely close friend of mine. And tonight, she's going to be sharing her thoughts on all things embracing your own authenticity. So on tonight's episode, we're digging deep into our souls with the help of Jenna. We're going to unpack some interesting tools on how to live your best, most unashamedly authentic life. I hope you all learned something epic from tonight's episode, because after many coffees and many candid conversations with Jen, I sure have. Yo, 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 Red is in the building. How are you, my honey?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, my baby. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good to see you.
Good. So good to see you. I have your little fiery red hair in my studio. I feel like you're looking so cute today. She's wearing, I mean, we're just talking about how she dresses so intuitively. She's wearing a shirt with a milk carton on it with a missing unicorn. Yes. And have you seen me? I have never seen a unicorn. But this unicorn t-shirt is the cutest thing. So you're probably wondering why I call her Red. But I don't call her Red. Her partner calls her Red. And one day I heard him call her that and I was like, oh, hell, I'm going to steal that. So between Jen, Way, Red, whatever feels natural, she's in the building. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. Cool. It's been a long time coming for this conversation.
I know, right?
How are you feeling?
I'm actually feeling okay.
Good. Good.
You're looking good.
There's no nerves here. You know what? We have had so many conversations and so many coffees and so many chats that I was actually thinking about this. I saw you last weekend.
Yeah.
And we spent like what? We were supposed to spend like 2 hours together. Maybe an hour and a half. Literally an hour and a half of just having a little quick catch up. And like 4.5 hours later, two coffee shops later, we still had so much to talk about. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? We should have actually been in the studio on Saturday because we had so much to speak about and we always do.
Yeah.
So I think tonight's episode is going to be straight up candid and, we're going to have a lot to really unpack.
Yeah, so definitely.
I'm excited. I can't wait to talk all things authenticity and just embracing who you are and everything. You know, you've had such an incredible, you know, journey to becoming who you are. But I want to quickly talk about our journey of how we became friends.
Yeah.
So I actually did something funny last night. I went onto our Instagram chat from November 2020, which is actually when we started becoming friends.
Yes.
And like, I'm a really sentimental person, right? So I went and, especially when it comes to messages.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
nothing else. Like, I don't really like things. Like, that's just not my love language. Like the words and like messages and like long letters. That's my thing, right?
Totally.
So I went onto our chat and I like scrolled all the way up and like, girl, you and I talk so much. It took me like 15 minutes to get to the top. I started getting a cramp in my hand. I was like sitting there scrolling up. And eventually I got to the top of our conversation. I was like, holy moly. We have literally spoken since November 2020.
And we've probably been holding back, like, you know, because typing takes so long. So we probably don't even talk as much as we would.
Exactly. And I mean, we do have very long phone calls. And then when we do see each other, which is what, like every month or like every 2 or 3 weeks, whenever we do get the chance to catch up, it's like long-winded and we talk for hours. And sometimes we're like, geez, like, did we even like unpack anything? We unpacked so much. But I was laughing at the very first message that you sent me because you slid into my DMs. I was like, yes, girl. So Jen slid into my DMs by responding to a story of mine, and it was me trying to wink. I was like, really trying to, and I'm just an FYI, by the way, I'm a really terrible winker. That's a really interesting word, winker. NSFW right now. I said winker, not the other one.
Not
to be confused with the word. Yeah. I mean, this is straight up candid. We can say whatever we want. But anyway, so you were laughing. You were just like responding to me winking. And I was like, gosh, well, nothing's changed. I mean, I have been practicing. How's this one?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, you're getting so much better. Yeah.
If I do it slowly.
And you got to do the mouth thing as well. You know, it's like, yeah.
It's like you open your mouth and like you just like lean to one side and you just like look like you're having a bit of a, like an epileptic fit, like
it's all about the S shapes, you know.
Exactly,
and it looks sexy.
100%. Like if you just stay stagnant and you just try and wink, I mean, I really hope whoever's listening to this right now is attempting to wink. And I'll do a little like winking tutorial. Not to say that I'm a winking pro, but anyway, so I laughed at how like you had sent me a message, and I was like, oh my word, and I like responded to you. We're just chatting, and then you were like, hey, da da da, we've got like mutual friends, and we started becoming friends, and then like a month later, we met up for coffee.
Yeah.
We went to Toast and you were like, I need to try their millionaire shortbreads. Shout out to Toast for their millionaire shortbreads.
They're the best.
And the almond flat whites are really good. And we're also, again, supposed to meet there. Well, the first time we ever met. I mean, this is now two friends met on Instagram.
Yeah.
And now we're like, cool. I mean, it was weird because like some people meet on Instagram to date.
Yes.
You know, it's not very often where you meet on Instagram to become friends, which is so cool. Like, I mean, in my opinion, I've never done that. I'd never, ever met a friend on Instagram and become friends with them via Instagram.
I find that so hard to believe because you're such a bubbly personality, you know.
Right?
So, yeah.
But I make friends out and about when I'm pretty much drunk on champagne. Like, I'm not always drunk, but sometimes. But like that's how I've like sort of, you know, normally made friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But on Instagram, you and I just like clicked and we were speaking and I was looking at our conversation. It was like long paragraphs and you were like, oh, I see you do dancing and I see you do this and you see you're friends with this person and I see you this. And okay, I know your clothing brand. And I said to you, like, I need a pair of those disco pants. Well, I totally manifested that because for my birthday last year, Jenna gifted me the most amazing sequined disco pants. Guys, you need to go have a look at her page because she's got the most amazing clothes.
Thank you.
Exactly. And y'all all need a pair of your disco pants. But I was so excited because I was like, I've never done this before. I've never made a friend on Instagram. And so off we went to Toast. And we're supposed to be there for like an hour. I said to you, like, cool, I've got an hour lunch break. Let's go. Well, girl, we sat the whole day. I think our conversation was like maybe 3-4 hours.
Yeah, it was.
And it was insane. Like, we had the most amazing chat. And you know what? Like, it just made me realize that, you know, you don't need to always meet friends, meet people organically, which is, I mean, word of the week, organic. It's actually been word of the year. Organically, like in a bar or in a restaurant or in the shops or through other people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you vibrate with another person via social media, via what they are, who they are, what they believe in, what they do. And you're like, I'll take your vibe. Let's be friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've found that like that's the best way for me to become friends with people is through social media. I even met my partner on social media.
No way.
Yeah. So it's not my intention to go out and like
find them.
Yeah. It's just like you come across people and you end up like just having this feeling and this vibe about them, like because it gives you a little insight into their lives and into who they are.
A little highlight. A highlight reel on who they are. And I guess, social media can be pretty deceiving sometimes because we do post the highs, the lows. For you, you're pretty, you know, you're terribly authentic in the best way. And I love that. And I love that about you. Like, especially, I know last year we were going through a bit of some tough times, in South Africa. We're not going to mention exactly what it was because we're moving forward.
Yes.
But there was such a beautiful side of you just being so raw, so real, so authentic and so vulnerable.
Thank you.
I think that really shows within yourself. I mean, you, I'd like the way you deliver yourself, the way you dress, the way you are, the way you have conversations. Yeah. I mean, we could have like a full length, series of movies of just how long you've spoken. I mean, 20,000 hours of podcast time would be amazing. I'm just talking about like what it is to be unashamedly yourself. And I know there's been many times where I've come to you and I've been an absolute mess. And I do come to you for a lot of spiritual guidance, a lot of relationship guidance, a lot of just general living guidance, really, because you've had such a beautiful journey getting to where you are. And am I allowed to expose your age?
Yes, you are.
Guys, you are going to die when you find out that this gorgeous human being is the big 40. She is 40 years old and she looks, no one believes me. She literally looks younger than me. She looks like my younger sister, basically.
Thanks,
girls. So I don't know what your secret is, but maybe one of your secrets is just being unashamedly you.
I hope so.
I think so. And I think it shows. I think it shows so beautifully, Jen. And you know what? Like I'm so excited to like pick your brain tonight and, you know, dive into your world, your soul, you know, your heart and just like everything about like what makes Jenaway. Like what makes her her? And, starting with how have you come to this point of just being unashamedly yourself?
I think it's been a very tough journey, like not being accepted from my childhood even, you know, like you never really felt like you fitted in with
Did you feel kids? Like you just sort of were against the grain completely?
Yeah, I always felt like I was an outcast with other kids. So that was quite, my childhood wasn't like the best in that sense.
Are you talking about school and like friends?
Yeah. I used to be bullied a lot because I had an unusual name. So, and I think also like, back then, I don't know about now, but back then, like, kids could smell it on you if you were different.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And then they would, like, make sure that it's not okay to be different.
Yeah. Like, when you don't follow the pack. And my parents raised me not to be like that. They were not like that either. So.
Oh, that's good.
It made a big difference, you know, having their sort of guidance and how they were following their lead. To never falter in that way about yourself. Like I never succumbed to peer pressure, you know, when you're in your teens and your friends want you to drink or, you know, smoke, whatever. I was never that kid. I stood by my values.
And what you believed in and what was instilled in you, but also like what were your own values and your own beliefs.
Yeah. And there is an element of like, you know, being aware of the consequences of your actions as well. Like even at that young age, like I knew that if I did certain things, it would upset my parents. So I would choose not to.
Or put you in danger.
Or that
too. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of self-awareness in that sense. Just as I got older, obviously there were times when, you know, my 20s where I would kind of just try and fit in a little bit more because it would just be easier.
Yeah.
And every time I did that, it just didn't work out. It would just, you would get down and depressed and well, not depressed, but just feel like
just feel not so much yourself.
Yeah, you could feel it. And I think a lot of it is about, you know, feeling those vibes within yourself and being in touch with what your body's trying to tell you, what your mental state is trying to tell you. You know, it's
what's
all kind
spirit,
of linked.
Your soul, everything.
Exactly. I mean, we get messages like every single day, you know, every single moment that we experience, we're being validated or invalidated, you know, by ourselves, not even by the people around us. There's been a lot of decisions I've made that maybe didn't work out according to plan, but, you know, people didn't back me on those decisions, and I would still go ahead and do them, and I became a better version of myself by doing them. I might not have gotten what I wanted to get out of them, but
I still learned something, and you grew. Yeah. Exactly, because you listened to your intuitive thoughts.
Yeah, and that's it for me. You know, my biological father passed on when I was very young, and he gave me a book when I was about 6 called Jonathan Livingston Seagull by Richard Bach.
Oh yes, you've spoken about this yeah. before.
And it's the most amazing book, and he inscribed in the book, you know, may the journey of Jonathan Livingston Seagull always remain with you throughout your life. And it's basically about living your life for yourself. And,
oh, that's beautiful.
And that does require you to be authentic, even if it goes against grain, and even if it's not going to mesh well with, you know, what everyone else, even people you care about or who care about you, you know, they're not going to necessarily agree with your decision. And you've got to make that tough call to be able to, you know, do it, because it's within your boundaries and within your needs and your desires, that you're not going to falter on that, because it is about yourself. And in some instances, it might look like they are selfish decisions because they might have an impact on other people. But if they work out, they could be brilliant for them as well. And
yeah,
that is
exactly.
the gamble that you have to take, you know.
So. And I think that's been, I mean, you can see sort of like that you followed through, you know, I mean, this book that your dad gave you, has been a really good sort of standing point for you for like pretty much your whole life. And you've mentioned it a few times. I'm still going to have to read this book because it sounds super powerful. But I mean, okay. So in your 20s, you were trying to fit in, or maybe trying to like sort of meet the societal norms, by just because it was the easy route.
Yeah.
At like what point was it like, okay, this is the point where I am going to be 100% me. You know, what sort of like really catapulted you into that space?
Because
like I know your 20s weren't easy. I mean, you traveled a bit. Were you married? Yes.
No.
You only got married in your 30s.
Yeah, I got married at 32 and then divorced at 36.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still hope. There's still hope for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this hot babe of a human being. And she went through some serious stuff, you know, her 20s were hectic, you know, but her 30s were even more sort of like life changing.
Yeah.
And now
it's, everything seems to be working out. It's, a lot of groundwork has been laid. I think I'd say like 5 years of groundwork.
Yeah.
Still within my own businesses, but, and work is my life because it's kind of like my baby. So for me, it's all about the passion that drives it, and sinking my teeth into something that is a challenge. I love puzzles and problem solving. So
I've been to your house and I've seen a couple of puzzles on the floor there where you're just like, I am living through your guilty pleasure is puzzles. My guilty pleasure is terrible reality TV shows about love. Terrible, like the ones that make me cringe and make me want to cry. Girl, I can't. I'm like a sucker for Love Island and Love is Blind and Too Hot to Handle. But speaking about Too Hot to Handle, okay, you are like such a hot commodity on the scene. I mean, guys, if you have not seen Red, aka West, aka Jenna, you ooze confidence and you ooze just a sex appeal, girl.
Thank you.
And what inspires you? Like, tell me what makes you just want to, just be 100% yourself. And I mean, you dress so cool. Like, I mean, you're the coolest person. And I think it also helps because you're a fashion designer, but sometimes I'm like, I need to be more like Jenna. Today I was
doing
like,
fun.
I was like, today I'm just going to like rock a little boob tube and some red lips and hopefully
those red lips are firing.
You know, they're the spirit of candid lips. But like, tell me sort of what drives you to be just not care about what anyone else thinks.
It feels good.
I love that.
It doesn't have to be complicated. I think it just feels good. It, you know, it's more about like once you challenge it every now and again, like, and realize that you overcome those sort of insecurities, like, because the earth didn't end or the world didn't end, you know, in that moment. It just, you realize that you can just keep doing what you want to do. It's not going to affect anything in your life drastically. And anyone that is not worth your time will will show themselves. They will reveal themselves if you are authentic, because you will be threatening to, you know, their sort of world and their existence.
Yeah.
And it might not even be an intentional sort of threat to them. It could be completely subconscious. But fortunately for me, I don't really have that experience much. I mean, I like to pride myself on being quite diplomatic.
Yeah,
quite unconfrontational.
Very neutral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't really attract a lot of drama.
No.
So if anything, like any of the drama that I know about in my life is other people's drama that I'm helping them
with. That you're helping them, like the agony aunt.
Yeah, so I do, I mean, it's not that I'm without my own, but I do try and not get consumed by stuff like that and then focus on the things that are important and that matter, because at the, like, all that we have is the present moment. And you have to bring yourself back to that present moment.
And I see, like, I know we were talking about this yesterday. It's also about, like, not trying too hard.
Yes.
It's about, like, being just, it's just being yourself. Like,
yeah.
The minute you start trying too hard and start being something else, I mean, you sent me such a powerful post. I feel like I need to bring it up because it was, like, the most beautiful thing ever.
But you'd love
it was just so powerful. It was, like, stop not being yourself,
yeah,
or whatever. It was, like, whoa, I can't remember that. Like, the minute you starve yourself from being yourself, you're not attracting the things that are actually meant for you.
No, because it's not an authentic energy. There'll be fear beneath that energy. And I mean, whether you believe in that or not,
yeah, exactly.
It's what I've put to practice in my own life, because I've had businesses fail, relationships fail, you know, and it is down to us and what we project into our space. And that's why I say, like, I dress intuitively, because if I go out and I'm wearing something that doesn't make me feel good, what kind of day am I going to have? What am I going to attract into my day?
So yeah, even if you're not feeling that confidence, yeah, or feeling whatever you're supposed to feel,
yeah,
intuitive feelings.
Exactly. And
what, like, are you going to attract?
If I've put on something nice to wear, even though I'm feeling bad, then I'm more likely to feel good. Like they say, if you're feeling bad, just smile, and that,
yeah,
can change your entire emotional perspective.
Yeah. You're never fully dressed without a smile.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand. Like, if you go and eat something that's going to make you feel terrible,
it's going to make you feel terrible.
Yeah. So
you know that intuitively.
Yeah. And make better choices, you know, in your life. But everything is a choice. We can't control the things that happen to us, but we can control our reaction and our responses to things. So
speaking of responses, I know, like, a lot of us respond because of our ego.
Yes.
Right. And I know we respond maybe negatively because we feel like our ego is bruised or our ego has been challenged.
Yes.
And I mean, in your opinion, like, how do we step out of the ego and really sort of be less attached, maybe more detached from whatever the person is responding to you about?
Yeah.
How do we detach ourselves from the ego or learn to recognize it?
Yes. I think it's got a lot to do with how we understand ourselves, but also how we understand people's perspective of us.
Yeah.
So if you typically have a lot of confrontation with other people, that should be enough of an insight for you to take a step back and go, well, why do I have a lot of confrontation in my life? If that confrontation is only with one person, you know, generally, then that person is the person that's triggered. It's not to say that you aren't triggering them,
yeah,
per se, but if it's not a common factor in your life where you're argumentative, then you know that it's not on you. So when it comes to the ego, we have a lot of, self-doubt that comes into it. The ego needs to survive and it needs to thrive on all that self-doubt
and insecurities.
It needs to thrive on that. And so you have to identify the thoughts and look at it, if it's true or not. Is this true of the situation? Is this true of the person? In my low moments, I'll have some self-doubt where I'll think that, oh, maybe a client is upset with me.
Mm.
And they're not upset with me. It's just me having that egoic response. And I'll know they're not upset with me because the next day I'll see them and they'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
And it's just because you're having a low moment. So you need to be more in touch with yourself. And everything external to yourself is not really any of your business. It's really about it starts with you.
It starts with
yourself.
You identifying your own insecurities, yeah, and what is it that's making you maybe respond to something when you shouldn't be responding in a certain way. And learning to maybe handle those self-doubts.
Yeah, and also maybe take a breath before you react as well. Yeah. Like that's a common, you know, point of advice that they give you. And in meetings, in business, I've learned this quite clearly. Like you'll have situations where someone is going to have a hard conversation with you. But, and you know it's coming, so you can't really stress about it. You do need to prepare for it. It doesn't mean you must stress about it, because the worst thing you can do when you are going to interact with someone where your ego is going to take over is to go in already angry, already prepared to fight, already go in with, I know it sounds cheesy and like a Care Bears movie, but go in with like love.
Yeah, go in with love. Yeah, exactly.
Because that person isn't your enemy until you make them into your enemy. And yes, you're going to get unreasonable people. Then you're being shown something else. You know, that's a different discussion altogether. But you can avoid that kind of conflict and by not letting your ego step in and sabotage
and lead the
you.
Way.
Yeah,
because exactly.
It will. It will sabotage you completely.
I think so too. This episode is brought to you by coffee. I'm not gonna say what coffee, because I need a coffee brand, a coffee sponsor. So y'all listening, if you have a coffee brand or a wine brand or anything, even water, that you want to sponsor me, you know where to find me. So today this episode is brought to you by Stillwater and coffee. We're recording next to a pretty vibey coffee shop, like workspace. Like everyone's just really in such a vibey mood tonight.
I don't know
what's going on.
I don't know either. Hasn't anyone got the memo? It's Monday.
I mean, exactly, right? So we've got some pretty vibey people outside. So I'm just like, okay, cool. Clearly, I am way too much of a, what's the word?
Perfectionist.
That's the word. Thank you, Jenna. And I was just like, guys, can you just be a little bit quiet?
No, you're much nicer than that.
I was really nice. I was not passive aggressive at all. But I was listening to my friends' conversations outside. I was like, okay, cool. Let me just cut to commercial so I can tell them that we're having a real meaningful conversation here. But we're going to jump straight back into it. I mean, so just before we were temporarily interrupted, we were talking about all things ego and stepping out of the ego and just finding ways to really eliminate those moments of self-doubt and finding good ways and positive ways to respond and not respond via the ego. And I think part of the ego, in my sort of understanding, is really developed from past experiences. And what do you think have been some of your most pivotal past experiences that have maybe formed you, defined you? I mean, we're not defined by our past, but our past may define some of our responses and how our ego is formed.
Yeah,
so what would you say has been probably some of the most like pivotal moments in your life?
How far back are we going?
I mean, we can go as far back as you want. Lean back. Girl, we can go as far as back as you want.
Look, I think for me, a defining moment was, obviously losing my father to depression when I was 8, which we don't dwell on too much because we have dealt with that. And he was just larger than life, you know, as a human being. So once that was handled, then I could kind of carry on living for myself.
I mean, that was a young age to lose your dad.
Yeah. So, and everyone always kind of apologizes and goes, oh, so sorry. But like, it doesn't hurt. It's obviously you miss the moments that
you miss, like, the person and the moments.
Yeah. Like there's certain things that happen as you get older where, you know, you grow, getting married, you know, you're not going to be walked down the aisle by your father, those sorts of things. So that was a big one. And then after that, it would be, losing my business in 2016. I had to close my shop, Sam. I had to close that. And it was like my dream job and dream business since I was like 19 years old. And it was also the heartbreak of all the people depending on you, because we had other designers and creatives in the store. It was a collaborative project. And because I was still back then very people-pleasing based and not entirely living for myself and not as self-aware, it was a very hard lesson for me to learn and a very expensive lesson as well.
Of course.
Yeah. So there was that, and then obviously getting divorced. And those were my three main ones. I mean, everyone went through the pandemic together and we all dealt with that differently.
Very differently, yeah. But those are three very different experiences that you had to go through, work through, and like sort of step into yourself, step out of the ego, and really find, how does Jenna respond to this? How is she truly going to authentically respond to it and live an authentic life?
And also recognizing, you know, how people in your life respond to your experience as well.
Yeah.
People who are closest to you, who are supposed to support you when you're going through a bad experience, who perhaps don't, which really shone a spotlight on people that I needed to get out of my life.
And
people that completely surprised you, that were able to step in and be that source of support and strength when you have burnout and, you know, you're trying to get over that fatigue and, you know, recognize your failure and come to terms with that, because ego does not like failure.
No, and, not at all.
And it really doesn't like failure when there's like a whole host of other people depending on you as well. So that was obviously the other issue.
And it's also when you are placed in these moments of uncomfortability. I mean, that's where we grow the most.
Mm.
We don't grow out of staying stagnant and comfortable.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's hard to feel like you aren't really defined by your past or your parents or, you know, the experiences that you've gone through. But it's more about like defining your own self and I guess sort of paving your own path. I mean, it's not about, yes, it's about looking back and reflecting on the past, but it's not about allowing that to define your path or whatever future that you're trying to create for yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, you are self-made and you have done an incredible job of just being able to overcome three massive hurdles. Yes, they might have been in very different times in your life. They might have, you know, one was when you were very young, one was more recent, or two of them were more recent in your life. And they've been such monumental moments for your own growth. I mean, they've placed you into really uncomfortable situations and forced you to dig deep and find a way of moving forward and healing and being true to yourself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, when it comes to marriage, and I do want to sort of expand a little bit on marriage, and I talk about work a lot, but like when it came to the marriage ending, I know there's so many people that go through divorces and stuff, and we did talk about this off air about, you know, how I want other people to feel inspired, that like it can be a very dark time, but wherever possible, fortunately I didn't have kids, so there wasn't that baggage.
Yeah.
But wherever possible, you know, you've got to do your best to face the situation, in the kindest way. Because even if your partner doesn't react the way you need them to react and they're going to lash out at you, which fortunately mine didn't at the time, but a lot of them do because of ego response, and it hurts.
Of course, and
it's
their own pain and their own hurt that they're going through. Yeah, for sure.
So even if you don't get the response that you want to give to that person, you should never really falter on how you are as a person, you know, to match that person's lower level.
Yeah, lower vibration.
Yeah.
We always say lower vibration.
Lower vibration.
Or their frequencies that they're on, because they're responding out of their own pain and their own fear and maybe their own past experiences.
Yeah.
And I think it's super important to be able to understand that these are some of the factors that we're going to go through, that some people may go through a divorce, some may not.
Yeah.
If they're fortunate enough. But by staying truthfully yourself, if you are truthfully a kind person, that's who you are.
Yeah.
And you know that that's innately who you are.
Yeah.
And you're acting out of unkindness, then you're not staying true to yourself. You're not acting your most authentic self. So I know it's hard, because when you're in a relationship, whether it be hostile or not hostile, you know, amicable, not amicable, we've all been through them.
Yeah.
It's difficult to not act out of unkindness or out from a volatile or hostile place.
Mm.
But if that's not who you are, then why act out in that way? Why respond in that way?
Yeah, and it boils down to that awareness in the moment of yourself and of your own reactions. And if you do act out in a way that isn't true to yourself, you'll feel it. You'll feel uncomfortable. You'll be like, oh.
You'll feel it in your gut.
And it's that bitterness, you know, that bitterness that sinks in when you're not on your path. You'll feel bitter in your day to day. You'll feel that pain in your heart and in your chest, and your body tells you, you can feel it. It's a pressure, it's a tension, it's a stress. You know, it could be stiff joints.
Has a physiological response.
Completely.
And I know exactly what you're saying because, I mean, a long time ago, I mean, you know, the ins and outs of my past relationships and the people and my past, whatever. But there was a time in my life where I was having such incredible physiological responses to my behavior. And I didn't recognize it. I mean, this is way before I was even knew what the word self-awareness was or being intuitive or listening to your gut. I mean, my mom always told me, listen to your gut, like listen to, you know, that whatever that voice that's telling you something's not right. And I think innately I've been always an intuitive person, but for a long time I ignored that. And in one particular relationship in my life, we won't mention what time frame or whatever it was. I know you know which one I'm talking about, but I spent so much time ignoring the signs, the writing on the wall, the feelings, my behaviors of how I'm responding to somebody else's behavior, that I was sick. I made myself sick all the time because I was behaving in a way that was not true to myself.
And it's a coping mechanism as well.
Absolutely.
Like you can't be hard on yourself. It's a natural response to traumatic and intense scenarios for people to shut down and retreat within.
It's like you go into like autopilot.
Yeah.
Or like autosave, fight or flight mode.
It's detachment.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that that's what I was doing until I was in not necessarily a similar situation. Very different, but I was put into an uncomfortable situation and I responded completely differently. And yes, this is now months, years almost from this time, you know, after this time. And I almost responded in the way that I used to.
Yes, learned.
And how I was programmed.
Yeah.
I had programmed myself because I knew it wasn't me. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter.
Yeah.
I'm a Libra.
Like, I was going to say, you're Libra and that's all love, baby.
It's all love in here. Like we love and we love hard.
Yeah.
And for me, like, inherently, I'm a lover. Like, I'm not a fighter. Like, I think conflict and confrontation is like the worst thing you could have done, could do to me. But I initially wanted to respond in the way I used to, which was immediately like anger, fear, resentment, just impulsively, because that's how I was programmed, because I was responding.
Well, it's reactionary.
Yes, responding via that other person's actions, which is my reaction. I mean, it was like a terrible sort of like downward spiral of feeding off each other's reactions and actions and actions, reactions. And I was put in a similar situation. Well, let's call it similar. And I responded in a way that I really sort of went, cool, is this how you want to react? Yes, it took me a good couple of minutes and the person probably looked at me like, what is she doing? Is she like meditating quickly?
Does not compute.
Computer says no. Reset to factory settings. That's literally probably what I looked like at the moment. I was kind of just like numb and staring at the person. And I really sunk into myself and then tried. I mean, this was like a really good task for me. Really sunk into myself and thought of myself, okay, how would Carla react? How would Carla truthfully react? You know, is she going to be authentic and respond in the way that is truthful? Or is she going to put on a mask and put on a facade and respond in a way that is what I think is best for that person?
Yeah.
And I didn't. I decided to be like, okay, cool. This is my truth. I'm going to say my truth. And if you don't like it, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's about the boundary setting that we discussed as well.
Yes.
Like, because if you don't, and Jordan Peterson, for example, he speaks about like one of his rules for life is always speak the truth.
Yeah.
And his reason for that is because if you do speak the truth, then people show their truth as well, generally.
Because they feel comfortable.
Well, not about feeling comfortable. It's like, even if their truth is an ugly truth, like if you can see that they're not a good person, you know, by the truth that they show you.
Because the truth always reveals itself.
Yeah. So, and if you trigger them, if they're not a good person and you trigger them, then you generally are going to, you know, have a good sense now, okay, well, that person is not for me. And
that person
this is not what
person,
I thought
yeah.
it was, you know. So that is why it is so important. And yes, there's a time to put on that facade and not,
yeah.
you know, show.
Not give, yeah. give so much so quickly.
Yeah, there is that time. But it mustn't be like a standard norm in your life as well.
It's funny because it's hard to, I mean, I've been guilty of this before where I have felt where I need to put on like a bit of a show.
Mm.
And not necessarily, like, I mean, we all sort of put out the best sort of versions of ourselves.
Well,
and
we have archetypes as well that we like to express.
Yeah, exactly.
So
all these different versions. Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not you.
It's a different version of
yeah,
myself.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, there was a time last year where I felt like, and a friend of mine actually had to call me out on this, and he called me the one day and he's like, I feel like we're losing you. Like, mm-hmm. who are you? Like, where are you at? Where's CLG the Great? Like, where's our friend? And I was so offended by it and I was so
upset. That's a good friend.
Right. That was a good friend. But at the time,
yeah.
He was pointing out something that I couldn't see.
Yes.
Right. And he was pointing out the truth, but I wasn't ready for the truth because I was comfortable in living inauthentic. Is that a right word?
Yeah, inauthentic.
Inauthentic.
Yeah.
Or a disingenuous sort of version of myself.
Yes.
And when he pointed it out, he's just like, I don't think you're being 100% yourself.
Mm.
I reacted immediately on the defense. I was like, like, who are you to say that? But then when I went and sat back, detached myself from the ego and was like, oh wow, he's actually seeing something that I don't see because I'm so, blinded by this facade or this mask that I've put on or this mask that I've sort of like thought to wear for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hang on. He actually has some truth here. And that's where we identify true people and good friends and real friends where they can go, hang on. There's something not right about the way you're behaving or who you are. This is not who we know you to be.
Yeah.
Maybe this is another version of yourself, but it's not, I don't think it's you being truthful to yourself.
And I think if it's, you know, genuine, then it would be more about from a place of concern, like, is everything okay? The fact that you're acting like this, is everything okay? Because then that makes all the difference. And, you know, that kind of support in your life will help keep you on your track. When it came to deciding whether I was happy in my life or not when I was married, the thing that actually defined it for me was finding old letters when I was going through like all my stuff from when I was in school. And
back to the sentimental part we were so here about earlier.
Yeah, and also, you know, because back then we actually wrote letters, so I had
Jane
paper,
Austen me, please.
Not digital, anyway.
I love writing letters. I'll write you a letter, Jane.
Yay.
Yay, letters.
But yeah, so I had some letters from some of my old friends who I'm still friends with. Most of them were guys, but it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that understanding other people's perspective of you also matters as much as having your own sense of self-awareness, because understanding yourself isn't just about what you know about yourself, like in your own experience and in your own reality. It's also about how other people show you and reflect back to you their awareness of how you are as a person.
Their perspective,
Their perspective of who you are as a person. And that makes such a difference, because I could look then at the way that they, you know, spoke to me. And I mean, I was going back like 15 years, but I could look at it and I could go, I don't like how I'm living my life or the person that I'm becoming, because it feels empty and it just doesn't feel fulfilling. And it feels like I'm depriving myself of an existence that I thought I would have.
Because you weren't living authentically.
And I definitely wasn't.
And you'll know because your cup will feel filled, and you obviously weren't feeling that.
No. And obviously there are the factors that like we need to be aware of within our lives that have nothing to do with our authenticity that could make us feel that way.
Yeah.
But in terms of this topic, you know, it does make a difference, like understanding how good people in your life perceive you and receive you.
Yeah.
Because it's the perception and the reception.
And it's, I mean, this is also not to be mistaken for, you know, caring too much about what other people think about you.
100%.
I mean, it's very different. You know, the way you are, the way you act and the way you sort of portray yourself is not necessarily how other people will perceive you. Like sometimes people see me as an obnoxious person who, you know, is loud and just too much. Other people may see me as a outgoing, bubbly, vivacious person or whatever it is, or easygoing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could have a resting bitch face. Yeah. That's actually your concentration face. Yeah. Like I'm constantly frowning because I can't see for shit.
Yeah.
But other people may perceive that as someone who's unapproachable.
Yes.
Or a bitch or snobbish or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I guess we're able to destigmatize that once you connect with people.
Yes.
And allow them to form their own perception of you.
Yeah.
Not based on, you know, how you are physically.
Yeah.
But how you are emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah.
And
I think also the problem comes in, you know, whilst social media is a blessing, it's also a curse. Because, you know, people will perceive you in a certain way based on what you put out on social media.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's also this, I've been warned, you know, by a woman that I saw, a guide that I saw, where she was like, be careful about how much you put out on social media because people get jealous and people, you know, also send that envy and that jealousy your way.
Yeah, they will.
It doesn't mean that you can't, you know, live, you know, this beautiful life and put it out there and share it with people. You can't control, like, who's going to get jealous. But at the same time, like, just be real about it. Like, life needs to be a balance. Like everything we do is a balance. It's like if you just ate like bad food all the time, you would not be balanced in your diet and you'd have all this depletion. So, you know, it's the same for everything in your life. Do you have space? Do you have balance? Do you, you know, all those questions in every facet of your life matters. And that also will determine how you're going to choose to live your life as well.
I'm glad that you brought up the whole social media point and you having sort of someone mentor you and tell you that you must be careful about what you post on social media. Mm. And because I think that's a really good point for people to understand that, like I said earlier, we put our best foot forward and we always post what we post because we want to post the best parts of our lives and, you know, being living this beautiful sort of like la-di-da life is kind of what we want people to see.
Yeah.
But what we don't know is that what we do know, but we don't want to admit to ourselves is that there's actually a lot more going on behind the scenes of what's behind that social media post. There's days where I feel like I have to post something to stay relevant.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeking some kind of, and this is when I've used social media incorrectly in the past, and slowly but surely I'm learning to use it for the right ways and not necessarily the bad ways. I would post something because I'm like, okay, I need to stay relevant. I need to stay on trend, but I also need that validation. That I know is not a authentic trait of mine.
No, but I mean, so again, going back to authenticity, you need to look at your motivation behind what you're doing. So even down to like calling a friend or, you know, if you just call a friend just to dump on them every single day, you're not a good friend.
You're not being a good person.
Yeah. So like your motivation and I know like I'm dropping like a whole lot of stuff and like people are going to be like, wow, like what don't I need to think about? Like what don't I need to worry about?
It's all about self-awareness.
But it is about self-awareness and there are going to be moments where you're going to be like doing stuff that is not accurate or true to who you are. And so long as you can take a step back and recognize that and counter correct it, then you'll be fine. And like in the case of, you know, your friends addressing certain issues that they would have seen with you.
Yeah.
To be able to go back to them and go and recognize and acknowledge it and give them that validation. Like, thank you, you know,
thank for you giving for being me, aware of who I truly am.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you wouldn't feel so triggered or maybe so offended if there wasn't a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
I mean, unless somebody was completely missing the park, like completely missing, you know, the point of who you are. I mean, if they were pointing out something that you're like, this person is really delusional.
Yeah.
Like, but because there was a part of me that doubted truly who I was and what I was actually doing. And this was sort of the same time in my life where I was seeking validation from places that weren't really healthy.
And it feels good in the moment, you know, it's I mean, like,
it's a kick of dopamine. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like going and having sex or something, sex.
Like it's, or taking, don't take drugs, kids, but like having some drugs or having a drink or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's that kick of dopamine that you get that may feel really good in the moment, but then when it disappears,
yeah,
or when you don't get the same amount the next time, that's when you feel like, oh, I'm not becoming cool. Oh, well, I'm not cool. I'm becoming uncool.
Or
less relevant, or, you know, unvalidated.
Yeah.
And for me, that's when I recognized, I mean, for me, last year, there was a massive shift in myself and embracing who I was and being sort of like unapologetic. Yeah. And I think a lot of people noticed that. And I mean, that was through a lot of guidance, a lot of conversations between you and I. And I was guided a lot by you, you know, on so many different levels. For those who are listening to this, you guys don't understand how many conversations Jen and I have had about spirituality and sexuality and sensuality and just embracing every little bit about yourself in every way or form, from what is from the way you dress, from the way you speak, the way you react to people.
Yeah.
How many yeses do I say in a day? How many noes do I say? Am I doing things for me? Am I doing things for other people? Am I people pleasing? Am I setting the correct boundaries? Am I allowing people to drain my energy?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast topic about energy vampires.
Yeah.
But am I living my most true, authentic self? And I know there was a serious shift. It was actually sort of around about the time of your birthday.
Okay.
And that was around about the time of the riots. It was after that the riots happened. And for me, that was such a big energetic shift for me. And I was like, inspired by you, obviously, always.
Thank you.
And it was like a moment where I was like, am I doing things because I want other people to accept me, or am I doing things because I want myself to accept me?
Yeah.
And that was a big question I had to ask. And I think this is also something that like led up to us having this conversation and being able to speak about this.
Mm.
And there's so many tools. I mean, you've given me like an incredible amount of tips and tricks. And I just want to know, before we wrap this all up, is where is a good place for someone who is struggling with embracing their weird, their wonderful, their identity? Where is a good place to start for someone who has absolutely no idea about self-awareness?
Sure, that is a big question. I think a good place to start is to understand what part of you is you.
Yeah.
And what part of you is conditioning.
Oof.
So, and it is a lot easier to track back than what you realize. You know, you have to perhaps know your family history a bit. You can even look at aunts and uncles and stuff like that, and you can identify the patterns within your family dynamic.
Yeah.
Within the friends that you attract and the social circles that you attract, within the patterns in your day-to-day life. Like I joke about being the agony aunt, but I've actually withdrawn quite a lot from being that.
From being that person.
Yeah.
Because, I know. We've spoken about this before.
So because it became, and it is like in terms of psychology, it is a defense response in terms of childhood trauma to be that person that's there for everyone,
other people
and
to
help fix them and all of that. And again, I took a step back and I was like, well, I want to help people. I'm not doing it for my own personal gain.
But you're doing it for them.
I'm doing it for them at the cost of myself.
And your peace.
And it's not the right way to do things. Because sometimes your motivation isn't like about validation and stuff like that. Sometimes it's a bit deeper than that. But it must not cost you yourself. It must not drain your energy so much that you can't, and you must be able to take a step back. But yeah, I'd say the best part is to understand what is your conditioning. Like, never be afraid to look at your flaws and you write it all down. Journal for a few days.
I was going to say, the best place, I mean, sometimes people start this and they just get lost in their thoughts in their head.
Oh, you got to write it.
Write it down. It's so important. I mean, everything I do, I write down. Like, I'm such an old school person.
Yeah.
You love letters.
Yeah.
I write all my notes down. I mean, yes, I have stuff on my laptop and, you know, phone,
it's
whatever.
It's better to handwrite it because you connect with your heart.
Yeah, you connect with your own handwriting.
So
I think that's a great place to start is find out what makes you you and what is conditioned.
Yeah, and if there's anything you don't like about yourself, it's never too late to change. Like,
yeah.
There's things that I didn't like about myself, like, last week, you know, and I was
so
like,
so you're
oh.
like, cool, I must recognize that.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way I reacted to that. Or I don't like the way I thought about this or said this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's all about catching yourself in moments. I mean, there's been plenty moments where I've caught myself. I'm like, that's not something that true Carla would say.
Yeah.
You know, true Carla won't gossip. True Carla won't say something nasty about someone else or judge verbally. That's just not who I am. So it's about catching yourself in those moments where you feel like you aren't being your true self.
Exactly.
And then, like Jenna's given you guys such a great task, is to really just sit down and write down who are you, what makes you you, and then what makes you conditioned or what has conditioned you.
Yeah.
And identifying those two. Are you being influenced by people that are not good for you, that are potentially not good for you? Have you really sort of spent some time establishing your circle or maybe not establishing, maybe sort of reflecting on your circle.
Yeah.
Are they adding to you? Are they taking away from you?
Yeah.
Is your job taking away from you? Is it adding value to your life? There's so many different aspects to this that can change the way you actually live your most truest life, you know?
Yeah. And you're not going to write like, you know, a couple of pages and then you're done and you can carry on. Now you're this authentic person.
It's your whole life. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
that you said that to me last week. It's life is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And I think it's an everyday thing and it requires a lot of homework and it requires a lot of some quiet time and time to just reflect in yourself. I mean, the time I reflect the most is around my birthday. I don't know why, but like every year around October or September, October, I get like super reflective and like super like emotional. And
it's
like
the anniversary of you.
It's the anniversary of me. And I'm like, wow. And like, it's the time I really like to reflect. But then after doing that for like, I think I've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years of like a lot of reflecting. But for the last year, I've been spending like at least once or twice a month, depending on when is the full moon or when is the end of the month, the beginning of the month. And I spend and I just sit there and reflect on what is it that I want to do differently? How can I be more self-aware? How can I be more authentic? Like, how can I be more truthful? And that's something that I do. And I mean, I know that's just a tiny little task of what I've been able to do, but maybe that's also another place to start for you
And also seeing a therapist as well. Like,
oh, therapy is the best thing ever.
I was very against them when I was a kid. Well, from when I was a kid, I saw some bad child psychologists after my dad died. So it kind of like put me off them. But, you know, when I was about 38, I decided, well, just during the pandemic, the last 6 months of 2020, where I decided that I needed to start going to therapy. And,
much power in therapy.
Yeah. And you don't, I think the problem is, you know, we live in such a quick fix society and an instant gratification society that we think, okay, I'm going to a therapist for one session and I'm going to be fixed. It doesn't work like
that. It's not a
quick
fix.
Unpacking. And even like months down the line, you might not have gone back to therapy. After that, you'll be like, okay, I maybe need to go back.
Maybe
something triggered me.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So. And something's triggering a certain behavioral pattern that I'm not used to or that I don't want to repeat. There's many times I go to my therapist. I've been going to my therapist for almost 3 years now. And sometimes I wake up and I go to her and I'm like, I don't really know what I talk about. And then the minute we start unpacking things, I'm like, oh wow, there's still so many layers of me that haven't been discovered and that haven't been identified as to why I act the way I act or react the way I react. It's so important to find a different kind of self-awareness through somebody else. Cause that's guidance and coaching and, you know, mentoring.
And even if you don't have a therapist, maybe there's someone that you really trust and value their opinion and they're good, you know, for your life.
And they have every good intention to speak to you. Yeah.
So, and that's a whole separate topic, but I mean, it goes hand in hand with the authenticity approach and journey. Is being able to honor your vulnerability because you actually can't discover who you are without being vulnerable. It is a very vulnerable process.
Because it's a raw process.
You have to look at the bad parts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like really digging into who you are in your soul and what makes you you. And I think we've covered so much today. Jen, I have had such an amazing time with you. I always do. I love spending time with you and I love having these conversations. And I think, I mean, maybe you guys can let me know. I think we need to get Jen on as like a regular. I think every couple of weeks we need to like bring her on and just be like, Jen's life lessons. We'll come up with a cool name.
I'd love that call.
You know what? It's like I can sit and pick her brain for hours, weeks, months, years. And you know what? Like after, there was one thing I said to Jen, after I met her, I think I said to her, I was like, Jen, I act like a bit of a crackhead sometimes. And I said this to her in a message. I was like, metaphorically, of course, but like, I act like a crackhead. And she said to me, she's like, you know what? The world needs more metaphorical crackheads. And it was like, in that moment, I was like, girl, you and I can be friends. And that's when we set up our coffee. I don't know if that was before we had coffee or after we had coffee. I can't remember. But either way, it just made me go, you know what? I have just told this girl that I act like a total nutcase sometimes, and she embraced it. And I was like, well, this is me. And that, to me, is a perfect, true telling sign of a true, authentic, and raw and real friend. And for you, Jen, I am grateful for you. And I mean that with you. every part of my being. And I can't wait to have more candid conversations with you, because I think we're going to have so many in the future.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You are most welcome. You're always, always welcome in my studio, my girl. Thank you. So that's it, guys. You heard it from the beautiful Jenna Way Webster. We spoke about everything, authenticity, embracing who you truly are, and just rediscovering. And I mean, if you're rediscovering, if you're only just discovering now, just who your truest self is. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. So pop me a message. Let me know what you guys are doing to discover your own self-awareness and your own authenticity. And for those who are curious to know what Way West is getting up to, you can find her on Instagram at WAEWEST, Way West on the IG, and prepare to be just wowed by this beautiful, firing bombshell of a human being and everything that she has to offer, from her fashion to her donut obsession to just her absolute beautiful moments in between her work and relationships and life and friendships. And you know, there's just so much she has to offer. And you know what, if you're anything like me, who's inspired by Jenna on a daily basis, you know where to find her. So enjoy the follow and the little Instagram stalk. I'm sure you guys will not be disappointed. And that is all for tonight, guys. You've been listening to Straight Up Candid with your girl, CLG the Great, episode 2 in the bag. And I am so thrilled to have had my beautiful friend Jenna in the studio with me tonight. For those who are wondering when we're going to be dropping an episode, every 2 weeks, yo. So you guys are going to be listening to this on a Monday at 8 p.m. every second Monday. So stay tuned on my Instagram at Carla Louise Gailey. And please don't forget to follow Life and Style 88 FM on Instagram to stay tuned for all the latest news. You can find us on Iona, which is our broadcasting platform, as well as on Spotify, and soon we'll be on Apple and Google Podcasts. So that's all for tonight, and I hope you guys just stay straight up candid, you little kittens. Good night.